Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm Maggie Westfold, one of your hosts today, together with Paul Wearson.
Well, hello, Maggie. It's great to be here with you. And Becca, our sound engineer, and we have Jackie, our intern from Iowa State here. So the studio is full this morning. It's great to be with all of you out there listening, too, whether you're commuting to work or just getting up right now. Or it's midday on our rebroadcast, or evening at 7 o'clock. We're on at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. every Wednesday. Well, Thanksgiving might be in the past, but wild turkeys roam free in our natural areas here in Iowa. And this brief phenology by Pat Schlarbaum, our resident naturalist, is about these fascinating birds that are native to Iowa.
Phenologies are noting nature's happenings when they occur. The first robin of spring or the last osprey of autumn is noted in a journal for future reference. Today's phenology are wild turkeys. Turkeys are native birds to this continent, and they were even raised by the Aztecs and Mayans. Almost every part of the turkey had usefulness. They were used as food, of course. Their feathers were used for decorations, and even their bones were used to make whistles. Turkeys have an intricate mythology among Native Americans. Turkeys helped create the world by showing humans, in their dreams, how to raise corn. Some oral traditional stories related that turkeys fight evil spirits like the owl. Yet, not all Native nations considered owls messengers of evil. Also, there are stories that teach how Indian sorcerers would turn themselves into turkeys and prowl around other villages. The turkey is part of the chicken family, and the characteristics of it should be studied as well by anyone with a turkey as a totem or spiritual protector. Some believe that the name for this bird came from the Hebrew word for peacock, or tukey. The turkey is one of the most adaptable birds. Although once threatened, it is now surviving strongly again in the wild. Its greatest threat is loss of habitat. Although they can adapt to most environments, their preference is for forested lands containing mass crop trees like oaks. The diet of the turkey is varied, but they can eat up to a pound of acorns a day. Nuts and acorns have often been associated with hidden wisdom and new seeds of growth. Animals and birds, which fed on them, often reflected that new nourishment in the form of wisdom and or growth is likely to occur. The turkey has also been known to steal the food caches of squirrels. The male turkey has a bright red, fleshy wattle and a peculiar inflatable growth on their forehead. When limp, it dangles along its beak like a loose antennae. It can swell, such as at times when one male challenges another. This growth is very symbolic. It is linked to the ancient idea of a third eye, the inner vision often associated with the pituitary gland in more traditional metaphysics. The brow center, or third eye, is the center for higher vision and is often considered the seat of the feminine energies within each of us according to native philosophies. This reflects its tie to the Mother Earth and all of its feminine energies and possibilities. The male will often keep several hens in a form of animal harem. The female may actually lie down in front of her chosen to get his attention. The hens will sometimes use a common nest for their eggs. This again hints at the concept of shared blessings, as does the way in which they protect themselves in numbers by flocking together. Many believe that the turkey cannot fly. This is not so for wild turkeys, yet domesticated turkeys have been bred to become giant butterballs that cannot fly. The wild turkey is capable of quick takeoffs and can fly up to 50 miles per hour for short distances. They also run well upon their stout legs. Turkeys will perch in trees at night for safety, roosting together, and they will change their roosting trees nightly. They find a strength in numbers and thus reflect the energy of sharing. These measures are beneficial to turkeys. Bobcats are one of the few predators that successfully hunt turkeys at their roosting tree sites. So enjoy these turkeys from the wild that sustain us during our holiday family tables into modern times. And that's our phonology for today. This is Pat Schlarbaum with KHOI Community Radio, 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames.
This is Paul Wearson, your host today with Maggie Westfold here on Local Talk, and that was Wild Turkeys from Pat Schlarbaum telling us about those big black birds you might see feeding in numbers off the corn stubble in the fields. You'll see them here and there as you drive the Lincoln Highway over to Nevada. And speaking of Nevada, Nevada will be starting off their Christmas festivities this coming Friday evening, December 1st, beginning at 5 p.m., with Nevada's Vintage Christmas. Now, Lynn Scarlett with the Nevada Chamber of Commerce is with us by phone now to talk about Nevada's plans for the holiday season. Are you there, Lynn?
I am here, Paul. Good morning. Well, I apologize for my voice. I have a cold.
No, it's that time of year, like they say, for colds. And Lynn, I know you from way back with your days with United Way. And
yes.
Tell us about what's happening starting Friday in Nevada to observe all the Christmas stuff going on?
Well, we've got a full gamut of items going on Friday night. We kick off with our Nevada Fire Department Chili Feed. This is a new event that we thought would be fun to incorporate into our evening. The firemen will be preparing 16 gallons of secret recipe chili that they'll be serving downtown just north of State Bank and Trust. And they're asking for either two canned goods or a free will donation that would be donated to Cubby's Cupboard, which is a food pantry we have here in Nevada. We've also got a cookie walk going on. That'll be held at Farm Grounds. And what that is we're inviting local bakers to donate 10 dozen cookies or whatever quantity they want. And then we'll sell those, and people can come through. They'll fill a bucket with cookies and pay the fee for that. That'll be held, like I said, at Farm Grounds. We've got about 290 dozen cookies, and we're still accepting donations if anyone is interested. We'll have carolers from Central Presbyterian Church here in Nevada. They'll be strolling around downtown Nevada singing holiday songs. The Nevada Boy Scout Troop will be selling popcorn in front of the chamber office, as well as hot chocolate. And then we have a live nativity scene that will be held in front of the Talent Factory, which is our local theater. And then at 5:45, Santa will arrive with Mrs. Claus on a fire truck. And at 7 o'clock, you can go to the Talent Factory and you can watch the movie The Polar Express. And that's a free event for residents. So we're excited about having this event grow. It started probably 7 to 8 years ago, and we just keep building on it to make it a little better and add events as we go along.
Well, now, Lynn, where are the Farm Grounds? You referred to the Farm Grounds.
Farm Grounds is our coffee shop in downtown Nevada. It's located just south of Ben Franklin on 6th Street here in Nevada.
Oh, it's a play on coffee grounds then.
See, oh.
We thought that was a piece of ground somewhere.
No. Yeah. We have a local owner, and she owns several businesses, one of them being her farm catering business that she's got. It's called Gatherings. And she just recently purchased a property here in Nevada, and it's going to be called the Farm Pond Inn. And it will be an apartment that people can rent and utilize when they have a wedding or a family gathering.
That's very creative. You know, Susan Franson, we've done road mm-hmm. trips for Local Talk, and Maggie has done a lot of beating the bushes for stories, too. Time and time again, we just find out that there are all kinds of great entrepreneurial people out in our small towns, and you're referring to some of them right now. And yes. It's just fantastic that people dream up these businesses and such creative ideas that fill a niche in a community. And
yes.
It's just wonderful that people can do what they love to do. And that's what entrepreneurial spirit is all about, to make your dream your work, you know. And so that's kind of exciting. And mm-hmm. I'm sure you like to promote those and give those folks every opportunity to grow and to really do well in Nevada. What else is going on for Christmas, Lynn? Anything else you want to highlight today?
Well, we've got a couple of events that we've just implemented this year. One is, I don't know if you remember, Paul, but back in the day, they used to do card showers where people could mail birthday cards or anniversary cards. And we're doing a Christmas card shower for our local seniors. We've got two assisted living properties here in Nevada. One is Story County Medical Long-Term Care, and the other is Rolling Green. And so we're inviting people to mail or drop off a Christmas card. You don't need to address it to anyone specific. And then throughout the day, the folks there at those facilities will hand the cards out and let the residents open up the cards, and then they'll display those just to make the holidays a little more festive. We've also got an adopt wreath that we're doing here in Nevada. We're inviting businesses to adopt a wreath and decorate it and display it until December 10th at their business. And then on December 11th, we're going to collect all those wreaths and deliver those to both Rolling Green and Story County Medical Long-Term Care, and use those to decorate the hallways of the facility so that it's just a little more holiday greenery. And I have one in my office, and it's gorgeous. It's got ribbons and bells and angels, and it's very pretty, and I appreciate the opportunity to display it.
That's fantastic because, you know, when I was actively working, I'm retired now, but I worked in a state agency, and our office was bedecked with all kinds of things. We had Secret Santa and Christmas parties, and seems like people brought something to eat every day. It was a real challenge to be athletic and slim in those days.
Yes, I relate to that problem a lot at work. I worked for this state agency also, and my goodness, it was hard to get through the holidays. Easy in some ways, hard in others. But Lynn, I love everything you're telling us about, the Christmas card thing for the residents of the senior places. That's wonderful. I can see their smiles at receiving something like that daily. That'll really help them get through the holidays too. I'm a Colo native, and all of this that you're saying is taking me back to childhood. I'm curious to know, if you chose Friday evening for your event, and you call it vintage, does this tie in maybe to those days when everybody went to town on Friday night and parked on Main Street, and mom and dad and the kids and they got out and visited for a while in pleasant weather, of course, not in the snow of Christmas, that didn't work, but the fact that you chose Friday evening, it just made me think of of my dad. He was a farmer, and he would put on his – we went to town on Friday nights. He'd put on his clean bib overalls and his clean blue work shirt, and his, he wore a railroader cap. And I can see him standing there with his pipe visiting with the other Nevada guys. Is that – does that have anything to do with why you're doing Friday evening and not the weekend?
I think a lot of it is the committee that we have. We've all kind of reminisced about things that we remember growing up. I grew up in Dubuque, so it was a different. We didn't have that small town feel, but we still did things that were special. You know, driving around and looking at the Christmas lights on our neighbors' houses, and my husband and I recently. Well, 20 years ago, we moved from Anita, Iowa, and we did an event down there called a Window Wonderland. Mm-hmm. And downtown businesses would allow civic organizations to come in and decorate the windows. Or I had a little shop, and I had my Girl Scout troop in there, and we had the girls dress up like elves, and they baked cookies. They pretended to bake cookies and decorate them. Mm-hmm. And people would just stroll around the downtown and observe all those kinds of things, and it was just a lot of fun. And I think that was a lot of what have made us do this event the way that we are, to bring back those fond memories of how things used to be. So Friday isn't any particular night. We didn't want to do it right after Thanksgiving. We just felt like December is more of a time to kick off the holiday.
And Friday, that's the first weekend in December.
And it is.
When December hits, we really start thinking about Christmas. And, Lynn, you might just remind us of what's happening Friday night before you leave us this morning, because we want to make sure everyone knows. And also, is there a website or a place where people can bring up on their computer all the information you've shared with us today about what's happening Friday night?
Yeah. Our website for the Nevada Chamber is Nevada, Iowa, all one word, .org. So it's a real easy website for events on Friday night starting at 5 o'clock. We'll kick off with our fire department chili feed. That's going to be just north of State Bank and Trust, and they're asking for two canned goods or a free will donation for Cubby's Cupboard. Our cookie walk will kick off at 5 o'clock, and that's at Farm Grounds, also in downtown Nevada. We'll have carolers from Central Presbyterian Church. We've got a Boy Scout troop from here in Nevada that'll be selling popcorn as well as hot chocolate. And the Family of Faith Church will be doing a live nativity scene in front of the Talent Factory. At 5:45, we'll have Santa arrive downtown with Mrs. Claus. And then at 7 o'clock, we're showing the movie The Polar Express at the Talent Factory. So, and we also, Paul, are collecting letters to Santa. There's a special mailbox that's located in front of the chamber office in Nevada. Kids can drop their letters off to Santa in the mailbox, and we need those letters dropped off before December 14th, so Santa has time to get a reply sent back to the kids. So,
well, I might drop off my letter to Santa. Every year I write a letter to Santa concerning a Mercedes-Benz car.
There
and
you
so,
go.
So far it's been unproductive, but I just figure it's too big to put in his bag.
It is.
But, you
it
know,
is.
I really,
but I bet he can make connections.
But I really relate to the movie that's coming up at the Camelot, or I call it the Camelot. It's a talent factory now. But, you know, Saturday night back in Story City, we had It's a Wonderful Life. The modern technology in the digital projection allows you to put on any movie you want now. Hollywood doesn't send out 35-millimeter film now, but you can get a cartridge of any classic movie. And they showed It's a Wonderful Life, and I thought, I'd better go because it's my last chance to see Jimmy Stewart with his face 3 feet wide on the screen. And it was a crowded theater. And at the end of the movie, people applauded the film. They stood and applauded that film. And it just shows you how nostalgia comes to life at Christmas, and we reinvest ourselves in all those wonderful traditions that mean Christmas to all of us. And Friday night, that's exactly what you're doing in Nevada.
That is correct. 7 o'clock at the Talent Factory. And you're invited to wear your pajamas.
You can wear your pajamas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And this is Polar Express? My grandkids introduced me to that. I love that movie.
Well, I hope nobody shows up in something from Victoria's Secret. But
there you go.
You can wear your pajamas. Well, thank you very much, Lynn. Because
thank you.
At Nevada, Lynn Scarlett from the Chamber of Commerce talking about Friday night at Nevada. All kinds of exciting things. And I think we have a little holiday music here, do we?
Is that possible? Yes, I think we do. If you just joined us, this is Local Talk on KHOI. I'm Maggie Westbold, your host today, along with Paul Wearson. Christmas in the City will take place in downtown Webster City, just a ways north and west of Ames, this coming weekend, on Sunday, December 3rd. I traveled to Webster City recently and visited with Linda Christensen at the Chamber of Commerce there, to hear what all will be going on with their holiday festivities. So let's hear about that.
Well, we'd like to invite everyone to our family hometown Webster City holiday. It's called Christmas in the City. It'll be held this Sunday, December 3rd, beginning at noon. Folks have been hard at work putting together fun Christmas windows. We have a number of unique shops in Webster City where you can find gifts for everyone on their holiday shopping list. We're going to have members of the Webster City Middle School Choir strolling around downtown singing Christmas carols, directed by Elise Keston. We're going to have participating businesses open, many of which will have awesome holiday specials. Take a moment to vote on your favorite Christmas window. You can vote at participating businesses, you can vote at the chamber office, or you can vote on our website online. And we're going to invite everyone to bring your children in to decorate a Christmas cookie and have some cocoa at the chamber office. So we're going to have a little fun decorating cookies here at the chamber office. That event is sponsored by Hy-Vee and Fairway of Webster City. Santa and Mrs. Claus will also be stopping in Webster City this year for the afternoon. And they can be found at the Webster Theater. This historic Art Deco theater was recently featured in the documentary Made in Iowa, which focused on the community pulling together to reopen the theater after it closed. So you can come and check out the theater. You can see a matinee at 2 p.m. on Sunday. We are also going to have a lighted parade that will begin at 5 o'clock. It's going to be a fun event, and we are going to have a special guest coming in at the end of the parade, so kids can look forward to that. And if anyone wants to be involved in that parade, they can just call us here at the chamber office. We're still taking entries for that, so any organization, business, or even families are encouraged to enter, and we just ask that entries just be filled with lots of lights.
Is this something that pretty much happens this way in Webster City every Christmas season? Is it a tradition to do the activities that you listed off for us earlier?
For the last 3 or 4 years, we've had this Christmas in the City. It's been a good way to showcase our community and let people know what we do have available here in Webster City. It's also an opportunity for people to get out and participate in a community event, kind of a stay-at-home, little bit of a holiday. A lot of the activities that the Chamber puts on are definitely geared to bring people to our community or bring our residents down to interact with our local business owners. Some fun events for families to bring their children down to. So it's going to be a fun event.
All right. Thank you, Linda. I loved hearing all the family-oriented activities. That's a wonderful way for families to come together and enjoy preparation for Christmas, whether it's caroling or making decorations or enjoying a Christmas movie. Just a wonderful way to celebrate the holidays together.
There are a number of things going on in Webster City in the next week or two. We're going to have our Chamber quarterly coffee, so everyone's welcome to come to that. Our local library, the Kendall and Young Library, is a fantastically beautiful library here in Webster City, and there are activities going on all the time for kids from 5 years to fifth grade. Every Thursday after school at the library, there will be a book signing by one of our local celebrities. Coach Dick Ty wrote a book regarding his 63 years of coaching high school football. And he's pretty renowned in Iowa. So one of our businesses is having a ribbon cutting on Friday. And another organization that we hear a lot from is Legacy Learning, Boone River Valley. They're having holiday ornaments at the produce station, pottery station. You can join them in creating handmade porcelain ornaments for that special tree. So that's a really interesting activity that the Legacy Learning is putting on.
Thank you. This sounds like there's something in Webster City throughout December for just about everybody.
There's going to be a lot of open houses and that sort of thing in throughout our business community, and everybody can find this information on the Chamber website. And that website is www.visitwebstercityiowa.com, all spelled out. It's kind of long. www.visitwebstercityiowa.com, and there is an events tab at the top here. You can find details about our events and events throughout the community.
Thank you. I wish you and everybody here in this wonderful little community happy holidays, and thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for having us, and Merry Christmas from the citizens of Webster City.
Linda Christensen with the Webster City Chamber of Commerce. Thank you.
Well, Maggie, we've talked about events going on in Nevada and Webster City. And I've got to put in a plug for my town, Story City. Sure. We have Yule Fest all through the month of December, and there are events going on every weekend throughout December. And this weekend, it's the 31st Annual Tour of Homes put on by the PEO Chapter, the Prairie Rail Trail Questers, and Hook and Eye Questers. They sponsor this and have since 1986. And just one of the events happening every weekend here during December, during Christmas. This Tour of Homes will be this Saturday and Sunday, December 2nd and 3rd, from 1 to 4 p.m. You can tour three beautiful homes plus treats at the Carriage House, the big museum in Story City. Tickets are available from any Quester or PEO chapter member, as well as the Chamber of Commerce or Nucara Pharmacy during business hours. So the Tour of Homes this weekend, there'll be three homes you can tour, and each of them has all kinds of thematic material. Each home has a theme, and so you can tour those homes, and I guess you wear booties so you don't stain the carpet, but you can go to all three homes. The Tour of Homes this Saturday and Sunday at Story City.
All right. Thanks, Paul. That sounds wonderful. And I want to take a minute now, listeners, to remind you that KHOI's fundraising goal of $30,000 is currently at $25,500. Let's meet the goal sooner than later. Membership is $55, which comes to just 15 cents a day. Go to khoifm.org, that's khoifm.org, to make your member donation. Or we'd love to see you in our studio
come on down to KHOI at 410 Douglas and donate. And speaking of giving and Christmas time, I always seem to have one person on my list that's a bit harder to buy for. Ingrid Anderson of Ames is with us today to tell you about the Ames Area Alternative Gift Market, which may offer a solution for that difficult-to-buy-for person. Ingrid, would you tell us what the Ames Area Alternative Gift Market is?
Rather than buying yet one more gadget for your relative or friend, honor him, her, instead by giving in their name a life-sustaining gift to help abolish global poverty or to renew our planet's environment. When you purchase a gift, you're actually donating to a charity project of your choice. You will receive a note with a description of the project and a Christmas card that you, in turn, can give to your special people.
People can make donations in your name, any of the gift recipient, mm-hmm. and then the card you give them lets them know which charity and which cause they're supporting.
Yes.
And that's really giving on their behalf to all these worthy causes, both international, local, and national.
Yes. So you're honoring the person you're giving the present to. And we have 30 international or national gifts. And we also have local gifts.
Give us some examples of the gifts that you offer.
For example, in the U.S., learning is the pipeline to success, or nourish the hungry, shelter the homeless in USA and Canada. In Africa, bikes for kids, teachers, and healthcare workers. In Kenya, Namibia, Tanzania, and Zambia. And in Asia, 1 million doses for medic teams in Burma. And in the Middle East, healing and hope for refugee children, Syria's border countries. And here in Ames, we have Access, Bethesda Food Pantry, Emergency Residence Project, Good Neighbor Emergency Assistance, Habitat for Humanity in Central Iowa, Food at First, Story County Dental Clinic, and Ames Uganda Project.
Where will folks find this market?
You need to go where?
You need to go to Weedsfield Grocery Store this Saturday, December 2nd, between 11 and 2, and December 9th and December 16th, between 10 and 4.
And so on Saturdays, mm-hmm. for these three Saturdays, you can mm-hmm. go in there and do the transaction, make the donation. Get the card, send that to the people that you want to give that gift to.
Yes.
And they can feel good about the fact that their name is attached to a worthy cause, and you've donated on their behalf,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully it's something that they would love to support too.
Yes.
And so that's a good idea because it's so tangible, so impactful,
mm-hmm.
and symbolic too, you know,
yes.
about what you're supporting and who you're supporting. And you're doing that on behalf of someone that you love.
Yes, exactly.
What could be better than that?
Exactly. It makes Christmas, I think.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, it is difficult to find things for certain people. And it also is an opportunity for you to do something significant.
Yes.
And it's an opportunity for you to also project yourself into that person who's the gift recipient.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to support something that you know is one of their things.
Yeah, exactly.
Something that they believe in, something they want to support, and they really appreciate you doing the donation in their name
mm-hmm.
because it's something that demonstrates your intimacy with them. You
yes.
know
yeah.
that this is what they believe in, this is what they support, this is what they love, this is what they really want to impact.
Yes.
And so, man, that's great. So what's the name of this program again so everyone knows?
It is the Ames Alternative Gift Market. This is our 27th year in Ames to hold the market.
Okay, and it's at Weedsfield.
Weedsfield Grocery, yeah.
Every Saturday coming up through the holiday season.
Yes.
You can go in and make a donation to any organization, worldwide, national, local,
mm-hmm.
in the name of the person that you want to gift.
To gift. It's totally tax deductible. It's a non-profit.
Do you have a website or Facebook page where people can contact it to get all that information?
They can contact me, and that's Ingrid, E-B-A, @me.com. We'll also just like them to come so we can talk to them. And they can also go online to check out the Alternative Gift Market International, and that is alternativegifts.org.
Thank you very much for being with us. I think that just may solve at least one problem for me.
Oh,
I appreciate your coming in.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, that brief but beautiful music you just heard will be part of a symphony performance here in Ames this weekend. Bernard McDonald, Associate Professor of Music at Simpson College in Indianola, will be guest conductor with the Central Iowa Symphony Program this Saturday evening. It'll be December 2nd, this Saturday at 7:30. It is titled Rapture, Rage, and Revelry, and will be held at the Ames City Auditorium, that's 515 Clark, located on the west side of the building. Professor McDonald currently holds the G. Dewey and M. Main Larson Chair in Opera at Simpson. He's a native of Scotland, and his studies include piano at the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland, opera in London, musicology at the University of Glasgow, and obtained his doctorate in conducting from Indiana University. Prior to coming to Simpson, Professor McDonald also garnered wide-ranging experience as a vocal coach, assistant conductor, and chorus master with major opera companies in America, Europe, and also in the Far East. And he had a freelance career. Well, Professor McDonald, Bernard, good morning.
Pleasure to join you.
Well, I'm sorry to get you up so early in the morning. This will be broadcast today at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. And let's talk about the concert coming up on Saturday. You're the guest conductor for the Central Iowa Symphony. What are you going to be giving us on Saturday night?
Well, we've put together a rather eclectic program that has some connections with my homeland. That's probably just a coincidence. And we begin with an overture by Hamish McCun, who is a composer who was very prominent in London in the late 19th century. And he's from Greenock, which is in the west coast of Scotland, a shipbuilding town. At least it was a shipbuilding town when McCun was born. And this is a concert overture, very much in the 19th century style, and somewhat reminiscent of Mendelssohn. Also reminiscent of some of the British music of the late 19th century. So Hamish McCun was a Scotsman who was prominent in the British musical scene in the late 19th century. And the piece is called The Land of the Mountain and the Flood. And what McCun does is take Scottish-style folk music and incorporate it into a 19th-century symphonic idiom. So it's a very tuneful dramatic overture, and definitely his most frequently performed work. So that opens the concert, and the concert closes on a Scottish theme, but with a fabulous piece by Peter Maxwell Davies. Maxwell Davies was an Englishman who made his home on the Orkney Islands, which is an archipelago on the northeast coast of Scotland, that once upon a time, centuries ago, was part of Norway. And this piece is called An Orkney Wedding with Sunrise. So it's a piece of program music that tells, really, it depicts a wedding on the Isle of Hoy in the Orkney Isles, with the guests arriving with violent weather, processional, the tuning up of the band, and then the increasingly inebriated dance, and then the walk home through the night across the island. And at the end, as the sun rises, we hear the bagpipes of the Scottish mainland come in, and it finishes rather dramatically.
You're going to have bagpipes, right? You're going to have bagpipes on scene, right?
Yes.
So they'll be able to hear bagpipes to highlight this music.
Sure.
And it's really a scenario where it depicts the wedding and all the events of the wedding. And it sounds very interesting and unique. You brought two interesting pieces to us there, the Land of the Mountain and the Flood Overture, and this Orkney wedding. Also, you're doing some Mozart and Puccini, is that right?
Yes. So the second piece in the program will be Mozart's Haffner Symphony. This is a piece that is a favorite of mine. When I spoke with the orchestra, first I said what's interesting about this piece is it's a lot of music in very little time. As someone who works a lot in opera, I tend to hear the Haffner Symphony as in operatic terms. The last movement is a very fast piece that is drawn straight really from the style of opera buffa. The opening movement is more dramatic and has a very interesting interplay between a kind of broad, grand, gallant style with some more intimate dialogue between the instruments and the quieter sections. There's a lyrical slow movement for repose and then a courtly dance minuet for the third movement. So that, in some ways, the Mozart is, for me personally, a favorite. The Puccini excerpts are drawn from two operas. The first is from Le Villi, which is a piece that's rarely performed, although this piece is extracted from the opera quite frequently and for concert. And this is a very short, fast, and brilliant kind of Ride of the Valkyries style of piece that is a diabolical dance evoking the ghosts of dead maidens. And it's tremendous fun for the orchestra to play. And it's short and brilliant. That will be followed by the much more lyrical intermezzo from Manon Lescaut. Manon Lescaut was Puccini's first big success as an opera composer in 1894. And this is a very passionate piece of lyrical writing. Manon was the tragic heroine of the opera who was sentenced to exile in Louisiana. So the intermezzo really depicts this tortured love that she has with Degrieux, her lover. It's a very, very beautiful piece. And very Italian and passionate and hot-blooded, as I think Puccini himself said when he was discussing the opera. At the same time, Manon Lescaut is perhaps Puccini's most Wagnerian approach to operatic composition. So I think it's certainly a piece of melodic as well as romantic lyricism for the audience. So we're all looking forward to that too.
This all fits into the theme of the program, Rapture, Rage, and Revelry. And that'll be coming up on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. December 2nd at the Ames City Auditorium. And those are great choices. Now, I caught the Central Iowa Symphony performance at the Bandshell last summer. They are really a nice surprise when you go to hear them and watch them perform. Have you had a lot of fun working with them, Bernard?
Yes, I have. And this is my third concert with the Central Iowa Symphony. They really do fabulous work. They are very committed musicians. They're intellectually curious. They work hard in rehearsal. And I must say it has been a joy to collaborate with them.
Are these fairly challenging pieces of music?
Yes, they are. Absolutely. They are technically demanding and, all sorts of challenges. And also stylistically wide-ranging. So there has to be quite a lot of versatility. You can't play the Mozart like you play the Puccini. They're so different. So it's a very contrasting program that I think certainly plays to the orchestra's strengths, but also gives them a good challenge, and they've certainly risen to the occasion.
Well, Rapture, Rage, and Revelry, that shows you that there's a rich contrast between the various pieces of music. Now, I have to be curious, Bernard, what sequence of events landed you in Indianola, Iowa? You're a native of Scotland, and with all that training and background overseas and in Europe, and your pedigree is wonderful. What happened to get you to Indianola, Iowa?
Well, I was freelancing, and I had a phone call from a colleague who told me there was a job going in Iowa that I should look at, and I took her advice and looked at it, and I was at a point in my life, I had two young children, my wife and I were both musicians, and all of a sudden, this job offer came along, and when I did the interview, I thought, wow, there's an amazing musical culture in this small college south of Des Moines, and sure enough, when that's turned out to be the case, and I run a very, very unusual opera program for undergraduates. We do very ambitious work, and because it's exclusively for undergraduates, they get the most amazing immersion in performance for the lyric stage. And so we have students from very talented students from all over Iowa, the Midwest, and increasingly further afield. So Simpson College turned out to be a musical goldmine, and it's been my base now for 7 years. And when I'm not here during the academic year, then I go and continue to ply my trade elsewhere. But Indianola has been a fabulous home for us, and we're very happy in Iowa.
So you're raising your children there. How old are the kids now, tell me?
They are 8 and 9, and they have a fabulous school and great teachers, and of course they're musically active as well, so they're very happy, and we're...
Do they have at least a trace of a Scottish accent?
what was that?
Do they have at least a trace of a Scottish accent, or are they Americanized?
No, they're truly Indianolan by this point, but only when they're trying to make a fool of me.
Well, I bet when you left to go to Iowa, you had to show all your friends and people you love in Scotland exactly where this was in the world on a map.
Yes, I did. But we have found that this is a great location. Obviously, it's Simpson College is in Indianola is close to the Des Moines airport, so when we have to go elsewhere, it's not difficult to go to Scotland or to go to other parts of North America for work. And of course, my family come and visit me. So it's worked out well.
Very good, Bernard. Now, Saturday night, everybody, it'll be the Rapture, Rage, and Revelry concert at Ames City Auditorium. We've been talking with Bernard McDonald, who's the guest conductor for the Central Iowa Symphony. This Saturday night, 7:30, Rapture, Rage, and Revelry by the Central Iowa Symphony. Thank you, Bernard.
Yes,
thank you very much.
Thank you, Professor McDonald. This is Maggie Westfold, and I'd like our listeners to know that because KHOI has a partnership with the Central Iowa Symphony, we'll be recording your performance on December 2nd, and it will be aired on KHOI 89.1 FM on Saturday, December 16th at 2 p.m., and again on Monday, December 18th at 9 a.m., That's Saturday, December 16th, 2 p.m., or Monday, December 18th, 9 a.m. Thank you.
And we have Becca, our sound engineer, here.
Well, I just wanted to jump in here real quick to talk about Soundscape Labs. That's a KHOI workshop going on tonight, a monthly workshop. We will be discussing various things to do with soundscapes, which is literally means the sound within your environment. So that could be, you know, your cat mewing every time it wants food, the traffic going down your highway, or even the lovely sounds of a nearby creek. Starting tonight, we will be learning how to make sound maps, so basically learning how to visualize sound. The cost is only $5 a class, and it will go straight to KHOI expenses. You can sign up at khoiradio@gmail.com. Yeah, there's going to be one every month, so December, January, February, March, April, all the way through June, once a month, so feel free to sign up online. You could even stop by and sign up the day of the class, starting today at 6 p.m., should end about 8 p.m. Soundscape Laboratory, you can find the event on Facebook. Go to KHOI Facebook page and go to the event tab, and you'll find that event there.
Thank you.
And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and we've been hearing about all kinds of things going on for the Christmas holiday. We talked about all the events coming up in Nevada, Webster City, a little bit about Story City, Wild Turkeys, and the Central Iowa Symphony Concert coming up this Saturday at 7:30 at Ames Municipal Auditorium. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. here on KHOI at 89.1. Also, remember that you can hear it online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org. Now, our theme song you hear in the background, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show. So if you would like to try your hand at reporting and producing, we'll train you. Come and join us at Local Talk here at KHOI. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.
Funding for KHOI Radio is provided in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. We encourage you to shop local this holiday season. You can support Ames growth while enjoying the wide array of local shopping and dining experiences that Ames independent businesses offer. From the Ames Chamber of Commerce, happy holidays. Let's shop local and grow Ames.
Support for KHOI comes from Mary Greeley Medical Center, providing inpatient and outpatient services on a continuum of care, located at 1111 Duff Avenue in Ames. Find out more information at www.mgmc.org. That's mgmc.org.